What is happening? Welcome to the Buzz Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 30th, the trade deadline. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We have a trade deadline extravaganza show live stream today, 4 p.m. Eastern time at PitcherList.com. You can also go to playback.tv/PitcherList where the live stream is going to be hosted. You can be part of the chat. You're going to be with me and Paul Spohr. We're going to bring in friends as well. And you can go on stage with us. Your team has a big trade. We want to hear your opinion. You can join me and Paul Spohr and talk it out with us live as it's going on. And of course, we'll be there through the end of the trade deadline to about 6:15 Eastern time. But we look forward to seeing you there. Playback.tv/PitcherList. Join today is completely free. So yesterday, Grant Holmes. Oh my gosh. Who is this guy? I did you guys a disservice, honestly. Because I just thought this was like Dylan Dodd, Darius Vines, like whatever, this guy, reliever coming in, doing a thing. I didn't really think he'd go very long, like four innings at most. And he only threw 70 pitches, but he looked great. Five innings, one earned run, three hits, zero walks, eight Ks. I'm calling Grant Holmes the real estate broker as he grants Holmes. You get it? Cool. Here to King Cole, 39% CSW on this, 11 whiffs. This was just fantastic. What I saw here was Holmes moving around the plate with the four-seamer. He was then using that four-seamer to set up cutter, slider, curve. These were awesome pitches. He allowed a home run on a, at least it was a 91-mile-per-hour slider. I think it was a cutter that, or maybe it was a slider that just didn't move and acted more like the cutter over the plate. It was hit out by Rhys Hoskins. Fine. It was a 2-1 pitch. It was just like a cement mixer. Okay. But the way he moved with everything else, he got all these whiffs of the curveball. Really trusted that pitch. Really trusted the slider too. I mean, it was great. It was like a complete package guy. Now, the four-seamer is not this elite pitch for Grant Holmes. It is 94 miles per hour. Could be a little bit amped here too. Could be like more like 93 in the future. Pretty average attack angle and verts and extension. Actually, I think it's low extension. So overall, that four-seamer has to be well spotted. It was yesterday. I don't know if that's always going to be the case. So that's the only concern I think I have about Grant Holmes is how much is that fastball going to be a detriment as opposed to a positive. But man, some of these fastballs were just pinpointed. I never felt that Grant Holmes was chaotic, that he was just unable to execute something. Like everything had a plan and he really went out there and was like, I'm going to put that slider here. I'm going to put that four-seamer over here, that cutter over here. That is such a skill that gets overlooked. I remember seeing in the offseason, command is the market and efficiency. And seeing a guy like Grant Holmes, who has two legitimate breaking balls at least, if not three, with a cutter, be able to manipulate the zone like that and really game plan is a huge, huge deal, a big separator from the likes of like Yelber Diaz, for example, who doesn't really know where things are going to go on a given day. And also, like, people are comparing him to River Ryan or Spencer Schwalbach. I love those two guys more. I think they have better raw stuff than Grant Holmes does. And the thing about River Ryan is that he did command in that second start, but not in the first. This first one for Grant Holmes, much better feeling as I'm watching him. I'm like, you are going to do the thing you want to do. And that is a huge, huge, huge bonus for Holmes. I don't know if he's going to start, though. And that's the biggest question, because is Atlanta going to acquire something today on the deadline? I would think they would, considering that Max Fried, I don't know what the situation is. Don't know what the situation is with Reynaldo Lopez. They said he's going to be there for the next start as the MRI came back clean. Shocking, honestly. Forearm tightness and clean is like, was this a Brian Moose situation again? I don't know. I would think that they would skip his next start. Like, you can't have Reynaldo not get any rest after that tightness. Like, just give him one start rest, please. Which would mean that Grant Holmes would stick around at least for one if they were to acquire another starter. Again, I don't know. It could be they acquire someone. Grant Holmes, you get the axe, you know? I hope not. I think Grant is someone that would really take advantage of the Marlins next. So right now, I'm picking up Grant, hoping that he does make that next start. And then you give it a spin there, see how that is, and we take it from there. Carson Spires went against the Cubs, did well, got the win. Five innings, 0 runs, one hit, two walks for Case. Is this the time to jump in? This was about 68 pitches. It was 68 pitches. It's the Giants next. That's fine. But remember that Carson Spires is not a guy that is really going to push the needle a ton. For deeper leagues, 15 teamers, your NL only leagues, sure. But 12 teamers, I don't think you got to go after this. Especially at 68 pitches, it probably will be five again, unless he's incredibly efficient, which, to be fair, Carson Spires is more of an efficient guy. He does throw a lot of strikes. He does hit the edges well. But the stuff is is fine. He's fine. You don't really need to do that one against the Giants. Taylor Scott opened here because Kikuchi got dealt. And that meant that Jake Bloss was not starting for the Astros. So this was just a full bullpen game. And yes, I do like Kikuchi on the Astros. I think it's a better situation for him. His luck has been terrible. The hit luck on all of his pitches has been terrible this year. And I have to think that the Astros defense is going to help him. I know the park doesn't do him favors. I get this. At the same time, I think overall, Kikuchi to the Astros is going to be a benefit. And his stuff is so good. He's, I think, top 15 in the majors in PLV. And his PLA, which is essentially the ERA representation of all of his skills as from PLV, the pitches he throws, 2 points lower than the 4.75 ERA he has, right? It's like 2.50. It's one of the best in the majors. So Yusei Kikuchi, I think, is going to do really, really well with the Astros. Also better win chance, too. Jose Quintana against the Twins got the win. 6 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 5K. 50% usage curveball. Like, I love it. I'm a fan of this. Quintana's best pitch is his curveball, and he saves his sinkers and his four seamers and his changeup for just getting up extra strikes and nibbled with those appropriately. Did not allow mistakes with it. Good stuff here against the Twins. He gets the Angels next. I'm all for that with Quintana. PL Bot picked Quintana. I should have done it. I'm upset. I am 2 games behind PL Bot. If you don't know, I'm talking about the streamers every single day. I pick a guy. So does our projection, Zuar projections every day. And it's been neck and neck for ages. And this is, I think, the first time of the year that I'm 2 games below the PL Bot. I'm 2 games back. So because of Quintana, I took Simeon Woods Richardson, and PL Bot was like, no, I think the Mets offense is really good. They were right. PL Bot, it's, if you don't know how to get those, that's a PL Pro feature. We have projections every single day. It's really good. I'm not used to losing against it. So it's, I mean, we give different opinions and everything too. It's a really great feature that we have for PL Pro users. Paul Skeens against the Astros, 6 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. 16 whiffs for Gallows Pole. No surprise there. 3 walks. You don't need to walk, guys. You're so good. It's fine. He's obviously ace is gonna ace here. Chris Flexen. Is he flexing at the beach? I mean, 6 innings, 2 runs.
9 base runners.
0 hits, 2 walks. I mean, yeah, you don't really need to go after Chris Flexen at all. Tanner Bibee against the Tigers, 6 innings, 2 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. 10 whiffs, 23% CSW. It's so weird. This was against the Tigers. Yeah, you got to win. You got 2 runs. Like, it's all fine. Like, everything helps. I mean, 2 strikeouts, sure. But just 6 curveballs, and you went 5 for 6 strikes with them. And you just threw a ton of changeups in there. Like, it's just weird. Tanner Bibee's just always so weird, and I hate weird. I don't know what you do always. Like, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know if it's going to work or not on a given day. You don't really know. And just kind of just go off and do it and hope for the best, kind of. And I hate that. That's just me. You know, I'm very much about the arsenal, less so of the actual on-page results. And I know that I'm different in this way. And I get burned for it, too. Every method has their own pros and cons. This is mine. It's, you know, Bibee's a weird one. Anyway, we have a lot of other guys to talk about, of course, today and tomorrow. Starters, we're going to talk about all of that after this break. I just got a question from chat from Blaze Consola, Arrigetti or Grant Holmes. I would prefer Grant Holmes right now. I think Arrigetti does not have that command. He has been throwing more strikes lately, and that's really exciting, but that could just go away next start much more. So, and I'd rather go with a guy that certainly looks like he's in more command of what he does. So I would have Grant Holmes over Spencer Arrigetti. Colin Ray, I call him a werewolf because he's someone that just kind of shows up like once a month or so. And it's been a little bit better than that. He's one of those dudes who you have a desperate Sunday. You're like, okay, maybe Colin Ray is going to go at least 5 innings here. Maybe get a win. 5.1 innings, 2 runs, 5 base runners, and 6 Ks against Atlanta. He just flipped in sweepers and didn't get bashed by his heaters. I mean, that's kind of it. I don't really like what Colin Ray does. I don't think it's sustainable at all, but understand, like, it's important to know that these are the kind of pitchers who could have that random game, right? Could spin the wheel and be successful above a certain threshold. I still gotta find the right term. I think in the offseason, I'm going to find a moment to really nail down the different types of guys and really get definitions for them. Mitchell Parker against the Diamondbacks, 5 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. That is a Toby line. And it's weird because Mitchell Parker didn't have anything working for him in the secondaries. It was just fastballs in the zone. Arizona didn't take too much advantage of it. There you go. Mitchell Parker, if he had his curveball or his splitter cooking or something like that, it would have been better. So it goes, and we should be happy that he didn't hurt our teams. Alkemarsh against the White Sox, 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Yeah, you can't do this. All right. I mean, it's possible against the Tigers next, but then again, Lorenzen could be getting that start. And also, do you really want to put yourself in that situation? Like, it's just not that good. So, move on. Nick Pivetta against the Mariners. Got the win, 6.2 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. As he should, because it's the Mariners and you're Nick Pivetta. You know, I wish I saw the cutter. I know this is just me being me, but it's all about sustainability, right? And I get hyped about the guys that have all the things that they need with the backup option. And I'm not seeing the backup option. And it's one of the criticisms I have of Cease is just like, you don't have a backup when the slider and fastball aren't there, right? When the fastball's failing you, slider isn't enough. That's why we get those blow-up starts. And I'm really happy that Cease has his stuff going right now. It's awesome. And we should also recognize that it doesn't mean that he's always going to be awesome because he doesn't have a backup plan. It's the same thing with Pivetta. The cutter, I think, is that backup plan for the fastball. And I haven't seen he hasn't needed it, but I wish he had that. Nathan Eovaldi against the Cardinals, 6 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. Splitter was good. Heaters 96 were fine. And there are certain guys, too, like Eovaldi, I think, that don't need the backup plan as much as Pivetta or Cease, right? Because we don't see as much of the ridiculous volatility, I believe, with Eovaldi as we do those other guys. I think there's an important distinction to be made there. Zach Eflin against the Jays, 6 innings, 300 runs, 10 hits. So that's a very, very poor quality start if you don't know about that. Very poor quality start is 6 innings on the dot, 3 earned runs on the dot, and then 9 hits or 9 base runners on the dot, right? 150 whip. It's just like, it's a quality start, but you got a 4-5 ERA and a 150 whip. You're like, is this quality? What? And then you added a V for every extra base runner. So you had 10. Yay. Thank you so much, Eflin. But you got to win in 7 Ks. And I really hope he can break out of the Toby mold and be more of a Holly, which is really like a 23% K rate instead of like the 20% he's been in. And this is 7 Ks in 6 innings. As Alex Fast liked to tweet out that he had 6 Ks in 4 frames, which is a career high for Eflin through 4 innings, which is the most Alex Fast tweet ever for an Orioles fan. It's amazing. I love him. As far as Eflin goes, this is a better situation. He should get more wins like this one. But I think he's still kind of the same guy. I mean, you shouldn't really expect it to change this early, right? Usually we see changes with a team in like a week or two when they actually start to get used to everybody having those conversations. Bowden Francis went against Baltimore as well. This was a doubleheader, so he got a win in his game. 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks, 4 whiffs and 20% CSW. This was actually like decent for Bowden Francis. Like his four-seamer has good shape, top third of the zone. And then you had curveballs actually landing for strikes. And if you remember earlier on the year, he really struggled with throwing strikes. So we saw some of the promise, and this was against Baltimore, and he survived. That's cool. But I really don't think that this is enough for me to go after him. I do think that he's going to get the roster spot instead of Yarel Rodriguez. We'll get to him in a moment. Luis Gil, 5.1 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 8 Ks against the Phillies, though. He got the win. There's a lot of dancing with the disco. That is sliders over the plate a ton. The four-seam was also there, but it was pretty much YM lock, and he allowed a home run on 0-2 pitch at 99. To Brandon Marsh, and it was like upper third middle though, and Marsh is someone that will generally cheat on those kind of things and go after it upstairs like that, and he got burned for that one. But just in general, I like this from Heel. I don't think this was his best with his changeup, and we've kind of seen him lean more on the slider recently, not the changeup, and I kind of get a sense that the changeup is actually the more important one, but I really just want to see all three working. I think he's getting there to aces against ace territory, but he's still a little bit of a thrower and not a pitcher, and that does bother me just a touch. Great to see him at least survive against the Phillies. Like 5.1 innings, 3 runs, sure, but 8 strikeouts got the win. Like this is surviving against an elite offense. Andre Pallante probably made his last start for the Cardinals until there was a hiccup in the rotation with Eric Fedele, so we move on. This was against Texas and blech, and we didn't start him anyway. Cade Povich went in that doubleheader as well, 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 5 walks, and 1 strikeout. I don't really think he was that chaotic, but yeah, you don't really need to go after Cade Povich right now. For the Tigers, it's kind of interesting. Bo Brisky opened for Brian Sammons, who made his MLB debut 7.1 innings in relief. So it was 0.2 innings for Brisky, and then he came into the end of first, and then threw 7 innings after that. 5 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. So you're thinking to yourself, wait, hold on a second. That's all 5 runners scoring. Yep. 12 whiffs, 29% CSW, and 96 pitches. So is this who the Tigers are going to go with instead of like Jackson Job? He's a Toby at best. Like, it's low 90s from the left side. He had some sweepers and cutters and they're like, fine. Like, this is not it. I'm not into this. He's not someone you circle saying like, oh man, O'Brien Simmons is not. No, Grant Holmes, absolutely. He's definitely more interesting. Yarad Rodriguez, terrible game. He got bamboozled. And when I say bamboozled, that means like it's within two innings and you just get a really bad inning where a team just jumps on all your stuff. And this was 0.2 innings of 300 runs, one hit, four walks, 1K. So like he was so chaotic. And then the pitches he threw, he got hit on because guys are just sitting on certain things. And there it is right down the middle, right? It's a donut. You do not hit the inside. You just hit the middle or way out of it. It's unfortunate. He's probably going to the pen now. That's it for Yarad Rodriguez. Just when I was starting to get sold on his four-seamer being a low ICR pitch, just when I was like, oh, it's a cut fastball, I get it now. And no. Jameson Taillon against the Reds in Cincinnati, not a good outing, not really a matchup that you really want to go for with Taillon. And we recognize that he can go 6+ innings on a given day. He gets to the Cardinals next. I think I'm fine without it. He might not even be on the Cubs. Then again, there was a report that, you know, Taillon said that he wasn't, you know, had been approached by the organization at all. Yeah, it's Taillon. I don't know if he's going to get dealt or not. We'll see. I don't really feel like he needs to be rostered in your fantasy leagues right now. Jordan Montgomery against the Nationals, 4 innings, 6 earned runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. Yeah, how am I supposed to butter my bread with this, Jordan Montgomery? Nope, we're not going to do this. Like, this is against the Nationals. We do not trust you at all. We move on. Simon Woods Richardson, 3.1 innings, 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. He was barely having some pitch comm issues and stuff, and maybe that unnerved him. But we're starting against the White Sox anyway. We're just going to move past this. The Mets are really good right now. And Simon Woods Richardson didn't really do too much different. Zach Wheeler and Logan Gilbert both had terrible days at the park. And let's just say, brush it off. What are you going to do? We just move on, guys, because Zach Wheeler is still dope and makes us feel dope. And Logan Gilbert should have gotten out of that inning as it was not a called strike three. And then it just completely cascaded. Like he got knocked out of the game, 700 runs after, and with two outs, with that fastball call not being called. It was dumb. So we move on. Looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. There's no real changes for today from yesterday. It's really Nick Martinez going instead of Frankie Montas because Frankie Montas was dealt. Don't really care. And Joey Wentz is going to be a bullpen game likely here. So I don't really care about Joey Wentz and the Tigers, but everything else is sticking for now. Who knows? Trade deadline. Weird day. And same thing for tomorrow. Like, I have these set up, but who knows because trades are happening. It's ace day tomorrow. So yeah, like Chris Sale, Tosh Bradley, Logan Webb, George Kirby, Jason Rodriguez, Zach Gallen, Pablo Lopez, Dylan Cease, Sonny Gray, Framber Valdez, Freddy Peralta. And there's also Clayton Kershaw against the Padres at the end of it. I'm starting all of them. I know there are some tough matchups in there. Just start them. Who cares if it's George Kirby fourth or second or third? Just start them. Cool? Okay. Probable start, Brian Bello. Honestly, I was tempted to put into auto start because he gets the Mariners now. And he's throwing changeups really effectively, sliders effectively, and sinkers effectively. And last two starts were Yankees and Dodgers, and he survived in both of them. And now he gets the Mariners. I'm ready for this. I'm so excited. Brady Singer against the White Sox. He's been on such a roll with the sinker and slider, like classic Brady Singer, and the White Sox are going to do that. Nick Lodolo has had some moments of being weird, and fastball looked better last time. That's encouraging to me. I'm going to start him against the Cubs. Andrew Heaney is still the streamer of the day, even though he didn't do well in our last one against the Blue Jays. The Cardinals, not too afraid of them. I think Andrew Heaney's still in a good spot. We're going to go with that one. Questionable start here. It's weird to have Mackenzie Gore down here, but let's be honest, he's just a cherry bomb now. It is so frustrating. It's a 50-50. It's up to you. The ceiling is amazing. Y'all know how I feel about it, but also the velocity has dipped. So I'm putting him down here. Christopher Sanchez is also a major risk against the Yankees as that Yankee offense is looking amazing at the moment. Who knows who they're going to have tomorrow? If they're going to acquire something else, maybe Yandy Diaz, I don't know. And Christopher Sanchez has moments of volatility where he leaves too many pitches over the plate, and it's just a worrisome start. You have Drew Thorpe against the Royals. I know he just got bamboozled. I get it. Four-seamers got hit. Likely the four-seamer is going to be used less in this game. So Drew Thorpe, at least with the new cutter approach, is a good thing. With the changeup, you might actually be able to get some value here. You have Luis Severino against the Twins. 97 miles per hour last time with the cutter. And also with the cutter, four-seamer was 97. I like that approach for Severino, finally. But the Twins are kind of good. Versus the loose at all. Nestor Cortez is going against the Phillies. That is a rough matchup, and Cortez is not a lock to be good. Who knows? Maybe he's dealt, too. Like, the Yankees have been saying this whole thing about Jack Flaherty and whatnot with Cortez. I saw that rumor. Interesting thing. Davis Daniel against the Rockies, Rocky Road. I mean, the Rockies are so bad. So maybe that actually works in L.A. Davis Daniel and Trevor Rogers could be dealt. He would be getting the Rays tomorrow. The Rays are really bad of an offense, especially they're dealing Yandy Diaz. So, like, that could work for Trevor Rogers. And the do not start here. Kyle Freeland is considerable against the Angels away from Coors. I don't want to do it. Ross Stripling at Oracle Park, at least it's a good situation. But Ross Stripling isn't very good. Martin Perez gets the Astros. I don't want to do that. Jake Bloss goes against Baltimore. That's a very intriguing one. I think there is a ceiling there that's decent, but I don't want to chance that whatsoever. There's adrenaline. He's a new team. All this weirdness. I don't want to do it. And Kyle Hendricks against Cincinnati. Obviously not. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. Make sure to show up at that trade deadline tomorrow, today, 4 p.m. Eastern time on July 30th. You got to be there. Pitchlist.com. I'll be there on the live stream on the front page, or just go into playback.tv/pitchlist. I'm there every morning. You should have an account there just to hang out anyway. In the morning, if you're just working at home, just put it on. It's just like lo-fi music, and we hang out and we talk about baseball. It's the best, easiest way to get your work done. All right, that is it, guys. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.